How you doing?
This is the movie show.
Nectiv TV.
FMN TV. Yeah, I'm Sej.
My name's Ryan.
And we are doing a review of a movie
that I was excited
you
for.
You were very excited for this.
The CG.
Yes, when we did our movies coming out in 2024, This was one of the movies that made it onto that list. And Ryan was like, yeah. Yes.
Because I enjoyed the motion cap stuff and the realism.
Yeah.
And the production teams that are involved. I think I look more forward to the fact that a certain production company was involved.
Yeah.
That's...
Weta Digital.
Yes, Weta Digital.
Weta Digital, the OG people, you know. Yeah. I think for me, when we discussed it, you were like, not sure if I was that like happy or like interested in watching it. And I remember like, I've watched the others. I enjoyed the others. But you know when you're kind of like, do we really want to take this franchise further? But then when we found out that Wes Ball was the director, so Wes Ball directed the Maze Runner trilogy. Was a trilogy, right?
Which is a very... It's kind of in his lane.
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar. And I loved Maze Runner. So I was like, although definitely here.
There weren't any digital characters in Maze Runner, were there?
Zombie... Well, they weren't called zombies. They were called something else. I can't remember what they were called. But
dead people.
And the creatures in the, you know, in the maze.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. I see them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There was CG yes. in it. So it was kind of in his lane kind of thing. And I think he's got a very like it's kind of his trait kind of thing.
Like
post right?
like end of the world,
yeah.
apocalyptic exactly. vibes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know, so I was doing research, and apparently what happened was when the first films came out, not the first films, because this is actually one of the longest film franchise that there is. Because if you go back, the Planet of the Apes, like there's old movies, like old movies. Then obviously, but back then I think they would use like costumes and you know like that type
right.
of yeah.
Right, right,
so it, the realism was definitely not there. Then they remade them, and then that's when they got like Andy Serkis involved. He played Caesar. There was the director and writer. And then after doing the trilogy, they were kind of like I think the director and the cinematographer were keen to keep going, but the writer was like, no, we're not taking this further. Then what happened was 20th Century Fox is the production company that owned the rights to this franchise. And guess who bought them out? Guess, Ryan, just take a wild guess. Who would buy out and then bring back something that could possibly be like left to...
The knee of the disc.
Disney
yes.
bought out 20th Century Fox. And then
they were like, let's mess it up.
Yeah, then they were like, no, we guys, the franchise is not dead. There's still stories that need to be told.
You guys need to put your brains into this, okay?
But then what they did was they didn't contact the original director. They contacted Wes Ball.
And even he wasn't
keen. He was not keen.
He was like, no.
He was like,
no, guys.
And you see, this is the issue I have with like production companies is I feel like a production company is supposed to want to make a film because they love film, you know? And obviously they want to make money. It's a business industry.
I wonder whose bright idea it was.
But sometimes they...
There was some meeting that Disney was having and they were like, oh, imagine if...
Guys,
imagine if we did
how
it.
Much... No. It's not imagined.
And we could even get Wes Ball.
It's not imagined.
Imagine.
This is it. Okay, so out of all the films that 20th Century Fox made, which one made the most money? And then they had the list.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we're definitely going to do a reboot.
I wanted
a
rebooted.
Sequel, a series on the side. We'll even maybe like bring back the action figure. You know, yeah, that's what happened. And then they were like, but the
and look
director,
how exciting they even make it
the
look.
The director won't come back. They're okay, like, we'll just get a new guy. You know, what was that guy that did that story
thing
where
with
there
the
were zombies?
Brad Pitt.
No, not him. That other
funny
one.
Things.
Hunger Games? No. The other one, similar to Hunger Games, also made a lot of money. Oh, Maze Runner, Wes Ball, yeah. Just contact the dude. I feel like that's what happened.
Phone him.
And then he was like, But then I think what happened was he went and thought about it because he wasn't keen. He was like, no, guys.
I'm sure idea. How I kind of pictured it is that he was like, no. That's just terrible. Then he moved on. And then one day he like, hey. In fact, I'm sure he maybe looked. He was reading his Bible. That's what he was doing. And he was reading that one story about, you know, in Israel, there was the king. No, the pharaoh that that like accepted the Israels and the Israelites and looked after them. And then there was another king that took over, and then he was like cruel and stuff. It makes sense. And then like they had to go.
They had to leave. And there was water, right? And there was lots of water.
You see? Makes sense. There you go. And that's what happened.
That's what
And happened. He was like, what if they do this in the planet of the air? I'm like, Lord, are you leading me to...
Okay, I will go
I
and
will
do it.
Go. I will go. You're...
Wow. So,
guys, that did not really happen. It might have happened. There's a possibility. I'm not saying that it really happened.
But yeah.
So don't go and say, apparently what happened was that Wes Borland... Apparently Wes Borland's a big Christian. And apparently he was reading his Bible. And that...
But then I think so. He has stated in interviews that when he agreed to do the project, he didn't want it to be like a continuation from the trilogy. Not as in like the fourth film in the trilogy. You know, like straight after the events of. He didn't want that, and because like those stories have been told and all of that, so he decided he would set it like generations in the future, and then like almost. Starts something fresh from
so you
from
had
there.
To connect it, but at the same time you had to kind of just pull
so
off his own.
Yeah, like pay homage to, but now you know create our own. Yeah, and then that's what he
makes
did.
Makes sense. How did this film even do, by the way?
Well, that's actually a good question.
Yeah,
I must say so when I started watching the film, I was like. Originally, I actually wanted to go and watch the previous three to like kind of like remind myself what is going on in the storyline because I don't really remember. I did not get the chance to do that. And then I was like, okay, it's fine. I'm going to watch it from the perspective of do you need to watch the first three films in order to watch this film? In my opinion, you can. They give you enough information to understand what kind of happened in the previous films. But at the same time, it's not 100% clear. I don't know if you found that. Did you remember what happened in the previous films?
Yeah.
Like, proper. Like, you remember
not
the
detailed, but you have an idea of, you know, the whole human and ape and... What's his name? Caesar, and then... And you're like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember, like, the other ones, like, fully, personally. So... But now I don't even know if I want to go watch the first. You know when you're just like, do I really want to go and watch three films? Like that's a lot of watch time, you know.
So the budget was 160 million. They made 370 million US dollars.
I know that they in terms of like cameras and from a motion capture perspective, they really went.
They ramped it up
all out with this one.
They did well because apparently they did a lot more cameras in the motion capture.
Yeah.
And then also like dragging a whole lot of cameras out in the middle of a forest.
That's one of the big differences here. So like, for example, Avatar was filmed in a studio. So they didn't go to real locations. This one, I think most of it was real locations.
They really broke the limit in terms of where motion cap can be done.
I think they set up like 100 cameras in a forest.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other thing they said was challenging was like with Avatar, they were in a studio, so and especially when they were filming in like the pools.
It's controlled environment.
But like you could have 80 like cameramen standing around the pool and they didn't have to worry about getting in the shots. They could just stand there because obviously like what's being captured is the motion just capture. The motion. So like a person, a cameraman standing there is not going to bother anyone. But with this one, if the camera dude is just standing there, like, you're going to see him in
they
the shot.
Put a bush there or something.
Yeah, so they said that was a lot. Like, they literally had to rig a forest with cameras. Motion capture cameras so that they could capture the performance. And it's obviously, like, you can't... It's not a controlled environment. So I think that's where it got a little bit difficult.
But they did it.
They did.
They did do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I started watching the movie, I was like, oh, okay, we're back at this. Like, okay, cool. And then like watched it and then eventually I fell asleep. And then I carried on watching it. And I must say, when I carried on watching it, the story really picked up. So like from the point where he meets Rocker, I think the ape's name was Rocker. And then he meets the girl. From that point, I felt like the story accelerated. Like, and now you were like more invested.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, what's the story here?
Yeah. I did enjoy the fact that so I remember watching, I think the third one without subtitles and I was so confused. And then I went and watched it a second time with the subtitles. I was like, because in those ones, the apes could speak, but
you watched it just, what?
So the third one.
Wait, yeah.
I watched it without subtitles.
Wait, how did that happen?
I don't know.
You have a lot of time to do that.
No, I didn't realize.
Oh.
So I was like...
Wait. You didn't realize...
You know when you're like watching and you're like... Okay, I don't know. Okay, because they did sign language a lot more in those ones.
Oh, right. Because
the apes... So the storyline is humans were dominant. Apes were obviously not dominant.
Yeah.
Then there was a virus that humans created that caused humans to not be able to talk and stuff again. And then the apes started like becoming more dominant. So then like in those ones, the apes were more intelligent.
So
and
it's a slight shift.
Yeah,
in
but they did more like sign language. I think Caesar was the most...
developed.
Yeah. And there was even that one, I think it was an orangutan that didn't speak at all. I remember that. But then with this one, I did enjoy that the apes spoke a bit more because like you didn't have to like depend so heavily on the subtitles.
Yeah. All
and
right.
Then obviously they were like very like...
I thought maybe you'd watched the film in silence or something.
Oh, no.
I was just like, what? Was this in December or like in your holidays or what? What's the story? Oh, okay.
No, right. I didn't realize I needed the subtitles. And then like, I don't even know what... Remember I told
you
Ryan,
do, though,
make sure you watch... I remember I said you do.
I remember that.
You do.
Yeah.
I think what I enjoy about this film is the art behind the CG.
Yeah.
Like in terms of storyline and that, it's like... Meh. Although there were two specific shots I really, really liked. The first was, you know, when he gets caught and he gets pulled into... I don't know what it was, like an underground... Do you know what I'm talking about?
That thing.
That then the camera, it was like the camera was on the rope that was holding his foot. Mm. And then literally, I liked that shot. That was very cool. And then the second shot I really liked was when he looked through the telescope. Because normally, what do people... Like if a character looks through binoculars or looks through a telescope, what do you do in film? You see the person looking and then you cut to what they see, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with this one, they never cut to what they see, but what they did was they got the glass to reflect the light from the stars on their eye here. So you never saw what they were looking at from a shot perspective, but you saw what they were looking at because it reflected.
Yeah,
and that
good.
Shot was also beautiful. Yeah. I was like, that was really cool.
I think because the cut to like kind of makes it cheesy.
Yeah.
It kind of breaks down the
And also you saw the actor's reaction more because they didn't cut away. So that was...
Very creative.
And even when the way they brought in, because at first you think she can't speak, you think she's mute. And then when she says something, the reaction of the two apes, I was finished. I think I went back and watched it like three times just because it was such like a, it was such a shock to you as the audience as well. You're like, oh, she speaks. Oh. And then they were like.
Yeah, because I was getting the whole vibes of how the apes and humans had literally
like
just swapped around.
Yeah.
They still said she's the most smartest of them all, and I'm like, that's what we would usually say about apes. So it's like,
I don't think I agree with this film from an evolutionary standpoint because it's got a lot of ties to evolution, like a lot of ties, and I don't agree with that. So like watching it from that perspective, you're just like,
yeah, because that was something I was also thinking about, the fact that obviously the apes are they're more stronger, more like vicious, more, you know. They can like...
They're intelligent.
But I mean, in natural. If you go to the zoo and you jump in the cage with a baboon or an ape or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like naturally.
Yeah, naturally.
And obviously the thing of evolution says the fittest survive, which is not... That's not what's happening, you know? So I was kind of like, okay, from that point of view, it's making sense, but that's not really what's going on here, you know?
From a story perspective, I wouldn't rate it that
but
high.
But that's often the thing that happens in films these days. They just, the evolution how things evolve and whatnot.
But then the CG was good.
Yeah,
the CG was
brilliant.
Very good. Like, the detail.
I blame Weta for that.
Yeah, Weta did a good job.
If you look at Weta, they have really developed well. And I think it's because they've kind of really... focused on animal fur
and they've gotten
and the
good
movement.
At it.
I know that the guy who was hired to help the actors kind of move in the whole the movement of apes and stuff like that. He actually did an interview as well, and how he had studied and how he had to then train the actors, and he even then eventually jumped on the call with Andy Serkis. Mm. To kind of get help on the movement stuff, like, because when you're doing motion cap, it's not just like, it's fine, guys. We can just we can do it in post. Yeah, fix it's fine. It in post. Just walk and act as your actor, and then we'll just it really helped towards the production. But I think it also the whole point of motion capture is so that you're getting more natural movement. So that means now, imagine for the actors how it must have been. Like, it's okay, cut,
very cool.
And then they walk to their car.
Yeah.
And like they're like, no, man.
Like a normal human being. No, but yeah. It was actually very cool. So actually what they did was they had ape school. They literally call it ape school.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, now, if you're an actor, you know this is like standard procedure when it comes to acting. But what he had to do was he had to basically get the actors in tune with their body and kind of understand the autonomy of the body so that they could figure out movements. And then they could now creates ape-like movement. So you literally see them, like, it's very, very
doing
cool.
exercises and
then
stuff.
Even, like, they would do a lot of improv exercises, which often is just, like, throwing a ball.
Hey, that's true, eh?
Yeah. And yeah. But then, like, wow. they obviously now teach them. It's literally like going to a school. You know, like, you learn how to walk. You know, like, with kids, you teach kids certain skills, like motor skills by throwing a ball and catching a ball. They literally did that, but they were doing it to teach them, like, ape motor skills. Which it's very, very clever. The guy that they got to do it, he eventually did say that because he did like a lot of research, but eventually his expertise, like he needed the extra help. And that's when they actually got, I think Andy Serkis went there as well. They did get him on a Zoom call, but I think he actually went there as well. And I think he could be one of the greatest motion capture artists or performers in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if anyone compares to him. And he also did voice training with him. Because they, like, if you hear the actors, they don't sound like they sound in the film.
Yeah.
And they did a very, very good job as well with their voice and creating, like, the growls and the, you know, like, even the way they speak. But that, I think we have to give, because, like, Andy Serkis, the first time he did it was Gollum, right?
Yeah.
I think that was the first time he did it.
Yeah.
Or was it King Kong? It might have been King Kong.
The first
but
time.
King Kong was very, like, King Kong didn't speak and stuff.
No.
It was more just like the movements and the sounds.
Yeah.
Whereas Gollum was more speaking and... Yeah, but honestly, Andy Serkis, I don't know
Gollum
if he's a
greater...
Gollum
goes
way
back.
Yeah.
Gollum goes way
but
back.
But doesn't King Kong also?
I don't know when it was
created. Because Peter Jackson did direct King Kong as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the one with Andy Serkis, but...
I just feel like Gollum goes way back before then. I mean, I remember being like this small. I don't know how far King
Weta
Kong
did
goes.
Gollum as well.
I won't be surprised. I'm not sure, but I won't be surprised.
I think they did.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. They often call Weta Digital in when they need very, when they've got animals and creatures and stuff like that, because they've really nailed that one.
Yeah, like down to the very bone and tissue of the, because it's not just like.
And that's Peter Jackson's fault.
Yeah, yes.
But he owns the company, doesn't it? Isn't he part of. I could be so wrong about
that. I think
he's
part, but I don't know if he owns the company.
I almost feel like just like ILM is like they like the specialist of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I feel like Weta is like the specialist because of Lord of the Rings kind of thing. Because they've done a lot of development on animals, creatures. Like, just look at their fur, the realism of it, the movement, the muscle movement. You know, they're like specialists on these kind of things. I don't know of any other visual production company that does it as well as them. And that's not to say that no other production company does creatures and that sort of thing. It's just, you know, if you're going to make a movie and you're going to make it work and sell it, you're going to want to get the best in. So, yeah, Weta Digital, definitely.
I have the answer for you, Ryan.
What is the answer?
So, Weta was founded by Peter Jackson, but it was also founded by a man named Richard Taylor and Jamie Selkirk in 1993 to develop special effects for Heavenly Creatures. That was obviously a film, right?
Cool.
But then in, I think it was in November 2021, Sir Peter Jackson, I think he was knighted, sold the company Weta Digital for $1.6 billion. Can you believe it? Crazy.
That's hectic.
So guys, start a company to create
and sell it.
And then sell it, you know. Yeah,
just make sure that they don't deviate from it.
Yeah.
From their specialty.
So yeah, I don't think it is with, but it did produce Lord of the Rings, Avatar the Way of Water, and yeah, no, they I think they're at the top of the game, yeah. In terms of like,
so they were really involved, yeah, with Avatar as well.
Yeah,
Avatar's crazy, yeah, like especially the second one.
Their first film was Heavenly Creatures. Mm. I've never watched that.
I don't think
go check it out.
I haven't heard of it. Maybe, yeah, when I see the
And thing. Then they obviously did all of the Lord of the Rings, early 2000s. They did iRobot. They did King Kong in 2005.
Wait, iRobot? Why iRobot?
They did X-Men The Last Stand. They did The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep. That makes sense. Mm. They did The Chronicles of Narnia, but not the first one, Prince Caspian. They did District 9.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then Avatar. Yeah.
District 9.
Couple of X-Men, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Mm. Oh, they did The Adventures of Tintin, of course, but that was Peter Jackson. You know that very realistic looking animation?
Yeah, I remember that.
Prometheus, The Hobbit, Iron Man 3.
So these guys are out there.
Hunger Games. Yeah, no, they've done a lot. They really have. They were involved in Maze Runner.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. And then the list just gets longer and longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. Currently, where are we? 2024. They've done Godzilla versus Kong, The New Empire, which I've heard is actually very good.
Godzilla.
Then they did Rebel Moon Part 2, and they did Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And they did Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
And then they're going to do Avatar 3, 4, and 5.
There's a 3, 4, 5.
There's a 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a while off.
Five's 2031. That's crazy. 2030. That sounds so weird. The year 2031. What the heck?
Wonder how old I'll be. I remember when this first came out.
Not that old, right? Not that old.
Do not know.
That not. Yeah. But also, what's cool is I was watching a thing where they were speaking about how there's small details on the ape's face. So like there's wrinkles on the ape's muzzle. And that is not caused by like the face. That's caused by inward. So do you understand what I'm saying? You know how like what's cool about Weta is they go into like they even show how they don't just animate the outside, because sometimes we kind of think animation's just like you model the person how they look exteriorly
and then make the arm move
outerly and and then just like. You know, like make it move. But actually what they do is they start from like that, like basically build you up like you are. And then based on that, they then control they control your bones. They control your tissue. They control your.
If you guys look on YouTube, there's actually a muscle. They actually show you how they develop the muscle, the bone structure, the movement. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And the muscle, like every muscle, because if you get every muscle's shape and how far it can stretch and how far it can contract, and then you give it rules and you make it work within those rules on how a muscle usually works, it makes your animation so much easier.
Yeah. And realistic.
Yeah, because then, I mean, the arm can only go so far.
Yeah.
It's not going to, you're not going to find a horse doing this. But yeah, it goes down to detail.
Yeah, so it's very, very cool.
It's hectic. It's very good.
And then in terms of the VFX, director Westphal was particularly proud because there's a 33 minutes of full CG in this film, which is a franchise first.
Yeah.
And he's also particularly proud of the immense amount of simulated water that is found in this film.
And water's hectic, people.
Water's very hectic. Mm. The highlight is an action scene with rushing water in a weapon silo. That's right at the end of the film. So he said, we flooded a converted parking garage with CG water.
That people. Sounds so cool.
A converted parking garage with CG water. And then he said, I had actors pull 20-pound sandbags on their legs and walk through the stage. So they pretend that basically they're in water.
That's cool.
And that was a crazy amount of data. He says it was petabytes and petabytes and petabytes. What on God's green earth is a petabyte?
So I believe after gigabytes, there's terabytes. And then after terabytes,
petabyte.
I think it's petabyte.
Crazy. And then he says we tried very hard to keep a grounded kind of cinema language to it all. That's crazy.
That's cool, though.
That's very cool.
That sounds very cool what they did.
It does.
I'm sure they were like, you know, leave it rendering overnight or whatever, like the simulation.
Yeah.
Come back the next morning. Everyone like just drops their bag at the desk, just walks straight through. And how far is it? Let's see it. All right, guys, let's see it. Whoa! You know?
Hey, talking about rendering time. Sounds like how much do you think, how many hours do you think?
I don't even think we're talking about hours.
Rendering time.
I think we're talking about months here, right?
Yeah, but in hours, right? If you had to convert it in hours, how many? Just take like a random guess, right? Oh, okay. Random guess of how many hours it took for them to render this film. Well, while he's doing that, I'll give you some trivia. So the VFX supervisor, Eric Winquist, who's worked on all three previous series, emphasized that the latest installment's realistic depiction of the apes and their world with improved technology. So in other words, this one, they really went all out to improve. To create visuals, the animators at Weta FX put in substantial work, resulting in how many hours, Ryan, of how many threaded hours of rendering? He's calculating, people.
I had to find my calculator app.
Yeah, that's dumb, right? iPads don't have calculators, except I think they bring it.
Okay, wait. Okay. 4,320
hours.
That's 6 months, plus minus worth of rendering.
It resulted in over 946 million thread hours for rendering.
946
million thread hours for rendering, people. Not for editing or for animating. For rendering.
Okay, all right.
What's thread hours? I feel like maybe it's
a very good question.
It's like all the rendering put together, because I'm pretty sure they didn't just render this on one PC.
Oh, I stand to be corrected. So they do multi-thread rendering, so which means that once they can render multiple frames.
Okay, yeah.
So
that's cool.
So which means that they took all of those threads and they kind of chunked them together.
Together.
Or maybe they're saying, hey, it's multi-thread rendering. Which means they did multi...
And it still took 946 million hours. Yes. So he says, as far as the evolution of the
I think they put all the threads together.
Together, yeah. Mm. As far as the evolution of the technology goes, I'm feeling very proud of where we currently are. When I go back and look at some of the scenes from the rise of the Planet of the Apes, it looks so primitive to me now. And at the time, we thought that was the pinnacle that was so great. But it's great to see the technology continuing to improve the believability and realism, not just of the appearance, but of their performance as well. And what we, our animators, are able to achieve is quite breathtaking, which is spot on. He's like 100% spot on. Yeah. So I think for this film, it's a very like CG milestone type of film. For like the average person who just wants to watch a movie and enjoy it.
Although I enjoy this kind of, it's a natural CG.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying. Yes. Which for me is more enjoyable.
It looks realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I hear you 100%.
You look at it and you say it's plausible. Your brain tells you that this is
real. I think Avatar, to a certain degree, Avatar also does that, even though it's so... as in, like, you look at it and you're like... They've tried to go for realism. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even though this world is very sci-fi and very, like think of Star Wars compared to Avatar.
Yeah, so it's...
Star Wars, you look at it and you're like, that's not real.
Yeah, but... I've never seen it. So it could be real.
So
if it existed, that's exactly what it would look like.
Yes. Whereas with Star Wars, you're like, yeah, that dude's definitely wearing a suit.
That's exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think...
I've never seen a creature looking like that. Or if there was a creature looking like that, that's what it would look like.
Yeah. But the realism. Weta Digital, it's a solid company, man. Sir Peter Jackson did the boost. I wonder why he sold it. Because he didn't just have Weta. Weta was a digital, like a special effects.
I think
he also had a production company.
It's probably because...
Wait a minute. So he could have regained control. I feel like we need to do some research into this. He might have it again. Peter Jackson, 2023, November. What is up with him in November? Like, in November, he decides to make, like, big life changes. Peter Jackson regains control of Weta Digital after Unity changes strategy.
Breaking news headlines.
There we go, people.
In fact, it's like this, Sesh. We just have a breaking story that's just come in.
Peter Jackson. Sir Peter Jackson has regained control of his alleged beloved Weta Digital VFX company that he started all the way back in 1993.
And now we'll be crossing over to John, who's...
in New Zealand, at the location right now. He's in Hobbiton.
John, tell us. We could do this all day. We could really continue with this.
And now for the sport. In other news, the Olympics has started. And, we're
sunny with some apes running around.
Sunny, oh my goodness.
Raining cats and dogs.
Wow.
There were no cats and dogs in this sport. Wait, what happened to the cats and dogs?
A good question. Also, last thing at the end, right, she has a gun, she's holding a gun, and then he gives her Caesar's necklace, and suddenly she takes it like this, and I'm just like, what happened to the gun? Did you throw it on the ground? Because you didn't see her, like, you know, like trying to put the gun back. So I was just like, yeah, but the main actor was very good. I thought he was very good. Yeah, so that is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
So I think it took them about 108,000 days, literally, if you put all those hours together. My maths could be totally off.
But I also feel like they were using multiple machines.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's not, yeah.
They took all the threads and they...
Oh, are you saying that it literally took that long?
Yeah. No, not literally. Cause
but as in all the time
I don't know
together.
How many threads, yeah. I don't know how many threads they were running on the machine.
It's crazy, though.
But that's if they were running.
That's rendering.
That's why they
create
multi-thread.
That's why they have rendering farms. I don't know if you know that's a thing, but that's actually a thing.
It's a farm.
It's a farm where they render.
And they grow the computers from small. And they have to...
They nurture them in very specialized conditions.
And then they...
No. Up. There's no cruelty in these render farms, right?
No, because it takes electricity, not water. You can't water a computer.
True. Good point.
Yeah.
Actually, computers want to be shocked.
So they power them, and then they grow from a Raspberry Pi into a Windows machine.
Into a MacBook Pro.
And when fully developed, they become a MacBook.
Many people would disagree with us. Or a Razer. What are those PCs called? Razers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the most powerful of machines. We are talking absolute junk. This has been the movie show.
No, we're not talking junk.
Okay, no, we're not talking junk.
They start from Raspberry Pis to Windows machines, and when fully developed, they become a Mac.
With people taking them off the table and putting the new one on the table and doing a quick backup and restore and continue with life.
And that's how they rendered Planet of the Apes.
Ta-da! Until next week.
See you then.